for tuning in to this rebroadcast of Hope in the Night. Our aim is to inspire you with biblical hope and offer practical help. Please be aware that any special offers or events mentioned during the program may not be current or active. To get the latest updates, go to hopefortheheart.org. Now here is Hope in the Night with June Hunt. Live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, this is Hope in the Night. Late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we have a couple of words in our vocabulary that I think everybody does, and they seem like, well, they're at least related, but what are some of the differences, key differences between shame and guilt?
You know, just the thought of that makes me think about my mom. I don't just immediately popped into my head because my mom really struggled with shame. And it is true that we grew up as my dad's third family when he had three families going on concurrently. I grew up with a fictitious last name just to, I can't speak of, I wasn't there when they made these decisions, but, and it hurt me. It kept hurting me when my mom continued to have shame. And I will answer your question, but I'm just commenting to say, guilt is, the difference between guilt and shame is guilt is a response from what I will say, true guilt, meaning when we have chosen wrong, the fact that we have sinned, sin is being independent from God, making our decisions based on what we want to do, not what God wants us to do. And so the fact is, the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've chosen wrong to go our own way. And so with that, we should have appropriate guilt. But shame is different. Many people think they're the same. Shame is the painful emotion of disgrace caused by a strong sense of guilt. We experience shame when our guilt removes from knowing you have done something wrong, done something bad, to feeling that you yourself are bad. Mm. See, shame focuses not on what you've done, but being ashamed of who you are and feeling that you basically are defective. And that causes the deepest sense of unworthiness. It's a constant fear, therefore, of abandonment and rejection. The Bible is very clear about guilt. Actually, and I'm going to say there is a very positive role of guilt. And I'm going to say it this way. I know that most people will think guilt is always bad. I say, no, it's not. It's like, and you've heard me use this illustration, Jeff. Mm-hmm. If I have turned onto a street and I see it's a one-way street, but I'm going the wrong way, I need to recognize I'm going the wrong way, because that will, if I keep going the same way, that's going to cause a head-on collision with a lot of cars coming my direction. But the point is, and I have accidentally turned onto the wrong way, onto a one-way street. And the sooner we turn, the better. So it's like guilt lets us know we've been wrong. And that's important because I know people who maintain continuing to do the same wrong act again and again. And we can have a seared conscience, have you burned yourself, Jeff?
Yes.
And like even on a stove, mm-hmm. there some people or oven, you're taking something out, and all of a sudden, it burns, and then there's a scab that goes over, and if you're touching that scab, you don't have much feeling. Well, we don't need to have, in essence, something that's keeping us from turning. But what I'm saying is we all have chosen wrong. We've all sinned. We're all guilty of willful disobedience, willfully doing, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's true. But it's like shame is, and therefore, I've done something bad, I am bad, there's a sense of feeling very unworthy around others. And so I saw that in my mom, and it hurt my heart.
For the Heart, we want to support you in your ministry calling. Whether you're involved in your local church or you're a professional counselor, life coach, or just someone who has a heart to help others, we want to come alongside you and give you the tools, training, and the support you need to fulfill God's calling in your life. That's why I want to invite you to the Hope Together Conference this September. Hope Together is such an encouraging time of training, fellowship, workshops, and more with brothers and sisters who are doing similar ministry just like you. You'll be supported by fellow ministry leaders and inspiring speakers, including Lee Strobel, James E. Ward Jr., Nick Vujicic, Crystal Evans Hurst, June Hunt, Steve Arterburn, and more. Hope Together is a live stream and in-person event in Allen, Texas. For best pricing, sign up today at hopetogether.com. That's hopetogether.com.
Do you ever struggle to believe that God loves you, that He accepts you, forgives you, and sees you as His precious, beloved child? So many people have a distorted picture of God, that He is distant, disappointed, or doesn't care about what's going on in our lives. The truth is, God cares about you more than you know. We want to encourage you to check out June Hunt's popular devotional, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes. In this 31-day devotional, June Hunt provides compassionate, biblical insight to help you understand and embrace the life-changing identity you have in Christ. Each day provides a biblical truth along with a short reflection and journaling questions to help you see yourself through God's eyes. We give this devotional to every caller on Hope in the Night because it has changed so many lives. Get a copy of June Hunt's devotional for yourself or a loved one at junehunt.org.
To Hope in the Night with June Hunt. This is a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and your continued support of this ministry. We thank you for that. If you have any questions or concerns about the topic of guilt versus shame, we have Keys for Living to address that. If that's something that would be helpful to you to take a look at and to really understand the differences in those and how to overcome guilt, what the difference between good guilt and bad guilt and all those things. We have a Keys for Living called Guilt, Living Guilt-Free. And that is available by calling customer support at 800-488-HOPE. You can order directly from them and they'll help you get that resource into your hands. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, by the way, and they'll help you. And if there is some other resource that might be applicable in your situation, they'll help you to get that and even maybe find a free resource of ours on the website. But the number again for them is 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. You can email them also at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask your questions there regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. Again, that's customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Let's get to our caller for tonight. We have a caller returning to us, listening on the Bot Radio Network in Oklahoma. We welcome back Ruth.
Well, I'm so glad we're going to get to talk again, Ruth. I like Oklahoma. That's where my mom was from, and my had a lot of family in Idabel and Ada, even Oklahoma City. So. I'm just saying that because I'm glad that you and I are talking. So help me know where you are right now. And the reason I'm going to especially be tender toward you is because your first line to me when we first talked a number of weeks ago, you said, "I always feel shame."
Right.
And that just touched my heart, because that's what my mom felt for a while, quite a while. And then there was change, because she began to be exposed. Specifically, there were women in a biblically based church who loved her. They got around her. They taught her the Bible, which she didn't know the Bible.
Yeah, sounds like.
And it's hard when you've not been genuinely taught. And in the church in which we were raised, there was not a Bible. I mean, I'm not saying there wasn't one there on the premises, but I never heard teaching from the Bible, even though it was a mainline denomination. But I didn't know I was missing anything. She didn't know she was missing anything, because you grow up with that as your norm, and you just have no idea what God is saying to us. And the important, so it just touched me when you, I have great compassion for you, because, there was so much more that you shared. You said in your mother's family there was incest, but she, your mom, would rip your hair out.
Right.
That's cruel. And she was beating, you said, us. So were these your siblings?
Yes.
How many siblings did you have?
Well, I had, my mom had six kids.
Okay.
But I never met my oldest sister, because when my mom was out hanging clothes, she went back into the house. She was almost three, and got her hand in a wringer washer, and it strangled her, and my mom found her.
Oh.
And my mom was in shock, and some man picked her up, and she was admitted into the hospital. She was Catholic, but they refused to bury her because I guess she hadn't been baptized yet or something.
Mm.
So, another man, she said she didn't know who he was. He was a preacher. Came in and shared with her, and did give the services for my sister. My mom did experience a lot of tragedy, too, you know, in her life. But I just, I don't know. I remember, like, because I remember I told you that she would, she cut my hair off. And I remember, like, when I would get abused as a an adult, I would always cut my hair. That's so strange that I did that.
What do you think that was meaning to you at the time?
I didn't want to be myself. I didn't like myself, and I would always go in, and because I've always had long hair, and I know I did not like myself at all, and sometimes that comes up now, but because I, when I accepted Christ, everything changed. But I remember crying because I was, like, relationship addicted, too. And so I would just run in my room with my Bible and cry on my Bible and say, you promised me I was going to be a new creature, and I'm the same. I don't want to be this person.
Well, what changes is this. When a person humbles their heart to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, giving Him control of their lives, I never will forget when I first was exposed to that. I didn't know anything about the Bible. And then when I read, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. I thought, in you? Well, I never heard anything like that. And there are multiple passages that say that. In fact, let me read to you one in particular that's important. It's Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, meaning this is a person who, as Jesus was crucified, when we read, I've been crucified with Christ, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's saying, I am, I've died to my old way of living. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. There's the concept again, in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So what that means is there's a major change. Now, you don't have holy amnesia. It's not like you can have everything disappear from the past, but you have Christ in you. The Bible even says, I can do, and this is one thing that many, many, many new Christians claim, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, it doesn't mean all things like I can jump off a building and flap my arms and fly. That is not the concept. It's not all things. It's all things that God has willed for you to do, you can do. So we have to read it in context of what it means. So if God tells us that we can change, we can. But the key is to live dependently on Christ Himself. who lives in us, he becomes our strength. He gives us a peace that passes all understanding. And not just giving us peace, he is our peace. And what that means, you did say, when I accepted Christ, everything changed. And mm-hmm. then, okay, so yes, the change is now. By the way, let me ask, was Jesus all powerful?
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, he could feed the 5,000 with just a few fish and loaves of bread, just little cakes of bread. In fact, he was stunned. It stunned the people when they saw all these miracles that he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, that was just to verify who he was. But the truth is, he comes to be our Savior. And it was when we humble our hearts and receive him as Lord and Savior. Lord means master, ruler, owner. It's giving him control of us. And it's not that we sin, but that we're sinless, but we sin less and less and less. And that's extraordinary, because he gives us even the will to want to change, to want to have victory, but he is our victory. So I'm saying that because it is true, there are aspects of, I remember being a new Christian, and yes, there was change. Now, it's not like I had an eraser and everything was gone, but yet, what we see is, in regard to our guilt, this is what's amazing. It's, yes, we've been guilty of choosing wrong, but we don't have to pay the consequences that we normally would, because Jesus paid the consequences. In other words, he died on the cross for our sin, and therefore we receive a phenomenal.
No matter what you're facing, there is hope. Sometimes it's hard to believe that. When we face challenges at home, at work, in our family, or maybe a private struggle, it can be hard to see what God is doing. The good news is, you're not alone. If you're facing a difficult life issue, we'd love to help. Give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17 to talk with June Hunt on the Hope in the Night broadcast. You can talk with June about any issue, whether it's family, anxiety, anger, grief, or just the everyday stress of life. June would love to hear your story and offer help and hope through God's Word. The Bible says, there is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. If you'd like to talk with June on Hope in the Night, give us a call at 1-800-NIGHT-17. That's 1-800-644-4817. Sharing your story can be a blessing to you and others.
Hi, it's Dr. Eric Scalise, and I'm excited to share with you what I see God doing through Hope for the Heart. I've served in ministry as a professional counselor for over 43 years now, and I'm seeing such a hunger among the body of Christ to be equipped to address real issues like anxiety, depression, grief, trauma, and the mental health needs affecting so many today. Last summer, we hosted a sold-out training event with attendees from 38 states and 6 countries. Join me, June Hunt, George Barna, and other experts on Saturday, June 22nd, for our next event on mental health and the church. It's right here in Plano, Texas, and we'll be live streaming the event as well. You don't want to miss this. Sign up today at hopefortheheart.org/church. That's hopefortheheart.org. www.ccc.org/church.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. Well, what do we mean when we say that? Well, what we would like to do is to let you know about some resources that would help you in whatever situation you're in. Our customer support team can help you do that and just gather those resources and understand any situation, a struggle that you might be having in your life. And then as you are healing and getting better in certain areas, then you can go and help others, especially in those very areas that you've struggled with, and you can help others. That's a biblical principle. We'd like to just remind you of that and let you know that there are plenty of resources here to be able to help you do that. Our customer support team is at 800-488-HOPE, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the right resources. Our Keys for Living on Guilt, called Living Guilt-Free, is one of those, and you can talk to them about one of our keys for living, if you'd like to receive that. The number again there is 800-488-HOPE, 800-488-4673. If you'd like to look at the website and find all the resources that are there available, our Keys for Living, as well as many books and Bible studies that are available there, it's at hopefortheheart.org/store. Take some time, look around, and see what might be most helpful for you. Let's return to our conversation now with Ruth.
Ruth, I'm interested in what you said. You said, when I accepted Christ, everything changed. And then you said, but then I looked at my life and cried. You cried on the bed. Nothing changed. So when you knew there was change, what did change? I've got my pen, and I'm going to write this down.
What changed is, because I also didn't know anything. And when I first started, like, going to Bible studies, some of the women would say that they had an intimate relationship with Jesus. And I thought it was intimate, you know?
Like, you're talking about, like, sexual?
Yes.
Okay.
And I started learning, but it was hard for me to accept what kind of love they speak about in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When they say love is patient, love is kind.
Mm-hmm.
All these beautiful things, and I just couldn't accept it. And a very wonderful friend of mine was teaching me about, you know, the royal priesthood and how we're like royalty to the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never accept that. I could never think of myself like that.
Yes. Okay. I'm identifying with you, because I had not heard that kind of terminology either. By the way, I'll just go on and say that we even have what we call keys for living on the topic of intimacy, and we explain that it is true that some people think of it, of intimacy, as a sexual relationship. But really, intimacy is a close, trusting relationship between two people who both feel secure enough to share their innermost thoughts and feelings. And the word intimacy actually comes from this Latin word, which means innermost. It just means innermost. Intimacy is shared personal knowledge marked by, like you if you were to get to know, let's say it is your dearest friend, and it's like with a long-term close relationship, having close contact with each other, that earns you the right, if you will, to be willing to share yourself. That's called like self-disclosure, being emotionally honest and vulnerable. And therefore, intimacy is a precious type of relationship. Now, many people, they'll have a good friend, but it may not be intimate. In other words, it may be you can have a buddy, a friend that you, where maybe you just like to go shopping together, or do errands together. Some people have used that word intimacy in this way. Into me see. I'm willing for you to see the real me. Into me see, but it's intimacy. And it's just play on words. And I remember I had a dear friend who was the co-host before Jeff. My first co-host on this program was Jim Kress, and he liked to say that he believed strongly in males having very endeared relationships. He had a group of men that held each other accountable, so he would talk about, yes, I need my dear male friends. It's into me see. I'm willing for them to see the inner part of me. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I like that.
In fact, intimacy in a relationship implies both close connection and deeply personal interactions an honest, open nature, where you feel safe and secure, and even forgiven. In other words, you don't feel judged if it's an intimate relationship. People can be married to someone, and it can be a precious, intimate marriage, or not. Maybe it is not at all that. They're married, but there's not the intimacy. I think the best of all would be to have a intimate relationship where you do feel safe. In other words, you could share and not feel judged. You feel secure in spite of past failures. You are understood. You're accepted. You're loved. And you feel blessed with increased confidence as a result. And there is a sense of satisfaction and significance where you feel valued. Because you see, that person is looking at you through eyes of love. In fact, the Bible says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's John 15:13. Jesus said that. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this is exactly what he did. He laid down his life for us.
Yeah.
So intimacy with God implies the same close connection. It's deeply personal interactions of an open and honest nature, where you're spending time with God in prayer and in his word to gain insights into his will for your life, into his heart, recognizing his everlasting love toward you. In fact, it's amazing when you really look at what the Bible lets us see. In Jeremiah 31:3, we read, this is the Lord speaking. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And love does what's best for another person. So if you love someone with the love of God, you're loving them in a way that it's not judgmental. Now, it can be a true friend would be willing to look and do what's best for you. So if at times we need to be held to accountability, meaning if we've chosen wrong, it could be we reacted and but you know, we're angry out of control anger, and a friend could say, could we talk? How did you feel about how you expressed yourself toward Jane, toward someone? And sometimes they'll help us see ourselves, but they do it with kindness. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So, I can understand if you heard initially something about an intimate relationship with Jesus. No, it is not a sexual relationship. Now, in an intimate marriage, there can be a sexual relationship. Usually there's a sexual relationship, but at times there are those who everything's just one way. It's for one person. A woman was telling me this last night. In her marriage, it was all only about sex, not about intimacy. It was only about sex, not literally building the relationship between the two of them. And so she felt used. And this is what some women do feel. They and she said, I didn't know what to do because I wanted to be biblical about
right.
what was said. But, you know, this is where there needs to be help, where one person can help another to figure out, okay, what do I say? What do I share with my spouse if that's the situation? But again, that's in marriage, and there can be a precious intimacy in marriage, but you can have marriage without the intimacy, is my point.
Right.
So I want us to come back, and I want you to talk with me for a moment. Where are you feeling stuck? Because God loves you unconditionally. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, which is extraordinary. But at times we can be ruminating over and over about things we've done in the past.
What does the Bible say about anxiety, abuse, or grief? Does the Bible really say anything about addiction, boundaries, or dealing with difficult people? As June Hunt has often said, there really are biblical solutions to all of life's struggles. We are excited to let you know about the newest and most comprehensive resource from June Hunt and the Ministry of Hope for the Heart, the Care and Counsel Library. Developed over a span of 35 years with the help of pastors, counselors, and ministry leaders, the Care and Counsel Library is a 50-topic, 10-volume set of books which provide clear answers from God's Word on real-life issues. This is a must-have resource for anyone who wants to grow in biblical wisdom. And right now, you can save 25% when you get the whole set. Check out the Karen Council Library today at hopefortheheart.org/CCL. That's hopefortheheart.org/CCL.
We would love your prayers here at Hope for the Heart. Over and over in God's Word, the Lord reminds us to lift one another up in prayer. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians 1:11, you help us by your prayers. So we want to encourage you to join the prayer team of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. You can join the Hope for the Heart prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. When you sign up to join our prayer team, we'll send you an email each month to keep you updated with the latest prayer needs of June Hunt and the ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our prayer team is a great way to stay connected and support June and support the Hope in the Night broadcast. We are so grateful for the prayers and support of our listeners and friends like you who make this ministry possible. You can join our prayer team at hopefortheheart.org/pray. That's hopefortheheart.org/pray. And thank you for partnering with us in prayer.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver. You're listening to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. This is a ministry of Hope for the Heart. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources, our keys for living called Guilt, Living Guilt-Free. That and other resources are available. Whatever would help you the most, just talk to customer support, and they'll recommend some resources to you. Their number, again, 800-488-HOPE. 800-488-4673. If there's an issue going on in your life, some struggle that you're having, and you'd like to talk with June Hunt about that on the program, give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And when you call, leave a detailed message for us. We'll get back to you as soon as possible and talk to you about what questions you would have and then schedule you for an upcoming Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17, 800-644-4817. Let's get back to our conversation with Ruth.
Well, my friend, there is something that I really want us to deal with. And this may take not just the remainder of our time. It might be, if I give you an assignment, I'm going to ask you about this. And it's because I wrote down something that you said a few weeks ago, and it was a powerful statement. You said, "I'm super scared if I don't make it." And you're talking about you had been diagnosed with cancer, and I likewise, I understand that I had breast cancer. And I knew that I didn't know if I, what would happen. I didn't assume that I would be alive today. I am very much alive. I think you can hear that I'm alive. And but the point is what you said, the second part of what you said, I'm super scared if I don't make it, there will be I will experience a hellish state. Now, that is what I care about. I care that you understand when you experienced a changed life through Christ, when you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, in this case, He wipes the slate clean. That's what I'm going to use as a phrase. He died for all your sin, past, present, future. He paid the price. And he became your substitute. because what happened on the cross, and this was the whole purpose for Jesus to come to earth, God the Son, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son took on human form, flesh, bones, exactly like a human child, a human baby. Now, many people think, well, how could that be? Well, there were all these prophecies in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures, and there are so many scriptures to pinpoint who this Messiah would be. The word Messiah means the anointed one. The word Christ means the anointed one. Messiah is Hebrew. Christ is Greek. So, but they mean this identical thing. Mm-hmm. Appointed, the appointed one to what? To literally pay the price for our sins. And when, because the truth is, God is all-knowing. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. He knew that from the beginning of humanity, the people who he would create, they would choose wrong. And that's why it's important to understand in the Jewish scriptures, all we like sheep have gone astray. That's Isaiah 53. Each of us has turned our own way. Well, the Bible is clear. The soul that sins is the one who should die. The Bible in the New Testament says the wages or the payment for our sin is death. And it's talking about a spiritual death, not just physically dying. It's a spiritual death. And that means total separation from God in a place that we would not want anyone to have to go to, that we would care about. So he created a perfect place where there's no more crying, no more sorrow. There's no sin, and that's heaven. So we have a choice while we're alive now. What are we going to choose? Will we live life God's way, not just acts? Will we humble our hearts and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior? There was a point in time that you did that. And you said, when I accepted Christ, everything changed. You know, and I always try to help make this clear. It's not that you had then amnesia and couldn't remember anything. No. But this is where Jesus, literally, he came to earth for the purpose to die on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for our sin, so that if, and here's the big if we would humble our hearts and receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, then he would forgive all of our sin. And there are so many passages in the scripture that show this. So, you know, I too remember when I would hear things that I'd never been exposed to, heard truth, I'd heard God's truth, and I thought, is that real? Is that true? But, you know, I love to say it's not that we are sinless, but over time we sin less and less. Now, we've got patterns. That's the problem. We have habits and patterns that we were used to. And most people, every person I know, even after they become Christians, they have sinned. But let me ask you, do you identify when I say you sin less? Would that be true with you?
Yes. Oh, yes. I was, yeah. Way,
okay.
I don't do so many things that I did before I knew him.
Yeah. And you know what I found? I didn't change me. I didn't know how to change me. The Lord changed me. When Jesus came to live inside us, we who humble our hearts, the Bible it's amazing. In fact, I never will forget reading a scripture, and I thought, is that true? I thought, what? And I read it again. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is the one who calls you. In this case, it can be calling you to change. And it says, and he will do it. He will do it. I thought, he will do it. I didn't know that. I thought I had to do all the changing. But again, that's faithful is the one who calls you. That's the Lord. And he will do what he's called us to do. So if he calls you, now, this change is a process. And it's not immediate of every single thing, because sometimes we don't even believe we're wrong about, at least that was true with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lying habit. I lied because I would do anything to keep Dad from being angry with Mother, because he wasn't safe when he would get angry. And you know what that is like, because you told me you were with abusive men. Not only were you abused as a child, but then when you married, then you got with the same kind of people, which is not unusual, that were abusive. And so I think what probably occurred is you became desperate for someone that you would think would love you. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm interpreting just some things from what you said. You said I was addicted to the thought of love.
Right.
And, that's understandable, because you're craving what others, sometimes they have people who are very loving, but that was not your background. Now, what's interesting is he gives us security over time. In fact, we have three inner needs for love, significance, and security. And he says, the Bible says, my God will supply all your needs. He's going to be the need meter for the love, significance, and security. But at the time, we can feel, it's dependent on me to get somebody. I just want anybody who could really, really, really love me. And, okay. But, then this is my thought. And I'm going to ask you if you want to do this.
Okay.
Because you said I'm super scared if I don't make it, meaning do the surgery, there'll
right.
be a hellish state. Well, I've got great news for you. That's not going to be the case. Great news. Now, what I thought we could do is for you to do a little timeline. A timeline would be where you put a line in the middle of a piece of 8.5 by 11 paper, and then the first part of your life would be your childhood. Second part would be your youth, days of youth, and then your adulthood, just in chronological order, for you to put down the things, the hard things, the things. And what we're going to do is we're going to come back and look at what God does with all those painful things, those painful times. And they can be the wrong decisions that we've made. But he knew about that. He knew about every wrong decision you made, and he still chose to save you. Isn't that great news?
We will send resources out to tonight's caller, and we do that free of charge because of your generous support of our ministry. If you'd like to give to keep those resources going out to our callers and to keep this program on the air in your area, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org/givehope, and we thank you. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, our program can be found on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.